Hello, friends, and welcome to Hat Jam, the podcast where each episode sees a new guest put through their musical paces by playing the fantastic comfort zone eliminating songwriting game, Hat Jam. I'm your host, Cav Templey from Eskimo Joe, and this week we have a COVID quarantine special. We will be broadcasting across Australia and talking to our good friend, Dallas Frasca. Hello, Dallas. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually very excited to see how this pans out.
Can you tell us where you are broadcasting from today?
I'm broadcasting from a six-week lock-in in Black Rocks on the south side of Melbourne today. Not far from the beach, which is nice. I can kind of get out and go for walks, but Beautiful. Yes, Melbourne.
Well, we are broadcasting from the romantic location of my mother's house because she has much better broadband internet than I do.
Be good cooking there. That's a smart place to be.
We will also be joined by Studio Cat, who will be keeping time, enlightening us with musical facts, as well as pressing pause. For those who are joining us for the first time, Hat Jam is a songwriting game where we ask our guests to put two names of songs and artists that they are inspired by into a hat. We then draw one name to inspire our verse and one name to inspire our chorus. If our guests panic at any time, they can draw a card from the wild card deck, which is filled with ideas designed to throw a spanner in the works of our songs. By the end of this episode, we would have completed a full song in the form of a scratch demo. For those of you who are listening who don't know what a scratch demo is, it's basically a sketch of the song, not the album version. Studio Cat, can you share some knowledge on our guest for today before we start?
Dallas Frasca started as an Australian three-piece rock band from Melbourne fronted by the one and only Dallas Frasca. From the early beginnings of the trio, the band has grown into an almighty seven-piece band that's been noted by rock and roll legend Slash to be, and I repeat, a band with great vocals, riffs and grooves. But neither of the bands has a bass player. Clocking over 1,000 shows on Australian soil and internationally, the band have converted listeners into fans with the band's contagious brand of blues, heavy soul and rock. Frasca has had a top 30 ARIA charting album, a top 10 Australian album, as well as a swag of awards, including Artist of the Year at the Independent Music Awards. I've also read that Dallas herself is a relative of opera royalty Dame Nellie Melba.
Dame Nellie Melba. Is this true?
This is actually true. She's like a distant, you know, name-dropping relative that, she was one of the first big, you know, pop stars of Australia. Well, opera pop stars, yes.
When opera stars were pop stars.
That's correct.
I love that. I love that you have a musical lineage. I think we all want a musical lineage. And, like, you know, you ask most people who are musicians or professional musicians, you're like, you know, so does anybody else in your family play music? You're like, they're usually like, no, actually.
I'm happy that you noted that today because mum and dad can't hold a note. Sorry, mum and dad, if you're listening.
Well, my mum can hold a note, and I have to say that because we're in her house. But yes, she was singing a lot when I grew up. And what is with the no bass?
Well, look, I mean, it's called saving money, paying other musicians, but Jeff and I started as a two-piece, so we were sort of playing on these old vintage instruments and, we really early on we got to play some really big stages. We really like it. In fact, I think we played South Bend, I remember, with Eskimo Joe many, many years ago.
Wow.
But we won't tell about those stories that happened. Anyway, well, I'll move on. But I think Jeff and I, you know, we sonically, you know, the instruments were quite small, so we started working on our sonics. So we brought in, you know, octave pedals and, you know, trying to make things a lot bigger. And as it turns out, you know, we don't really need bass. The sound sonically is there.
Well, you do realize that if anyone was going to hire me to do anything in their band professionally, it would be the bass player, because that's like the one thing that I practice to do. And I like to, you know, buck the trend by being, you know, a bass playing, singing, songwriting guy. There's not many of us out there in the world, but, you know, I find it shocking when people think they can get by without bass, you know. If you're a two-piece.
Well, you know, it's funny because people say, oh, you know, maybe you should get a bass player. Like, this does happen quite regularly. And I'm like, well, are you – there are always bass players that say it that's looking for work. But
exactly.
We could do a guest appearance. Why don't we do a guest appearance one day, Cav?
That sounds great. Everyone would be like, you guys have never sounded better. but in all seriousness, can you tell us, when did you start singing? Because your voice is amazing. It's kind of got this depth of tone to it. When did you find your voice? When did you first start singing?
Look, I used to sing a lot when I was a kid. My nana had an organ at her place, and I used to tinker around on that for hours. You know, I was brought up in northeast Victoria, so we're out in the bush, and that you know, the organ was my friend when I was out there. So I spent hours, you know, going through these emotional journeys with melody and just listening to those keys. I felt like I was in a bit of a, just, you know, it's almost like when you've got, you know, a bunch of boxes or something that your mum or your grandma might put on the table, and you just start making art, and there's no, you don't have any goal for it or anything. I love being lost in that creative kind of zone. So I was always sort of tinkering around, but I never really started singing until I was about 18 by accident. So I was actually in a backyard at a housewarming party at my house. And there was a girl singing really badly out of tune to this kind of jam session. I should thank her for this, actually. But I could hear, you know, the right notes that need to be sang. And I don't think it was any good at the time or anything like that. But I just started singing, and the boys were like, well, you know, we should keep doing that. And I was like, yeah, sick, let's keep going. So, like, that's actually what happened.
I would love it if that was the actual transcript of the conversation.
Pretty much was. I'm from Wangaratta, so there's no doubt that's what it was.
This is a question I ask of all the artists and musicians who come onto our show. When do the ideas come for you?
That's such a huge question, because it's never the same. So often when I first wake up or when I'm going to sleep, it's like this morning it happened. So I woke up, and it's sort of like I can hear this distant melody far away, but in my head, and I just give it a little bit of time to try and chase it and make it what it is. And I actually did listen to your podcast with Tim, and it was really interesting because the exact same thing happens for me. And, you know, he was even talking about when you sort of start trying to sing it or interpreting it on guitar, it doesn't always come out. And I have to try and be more patient with those when those ideas come, because I get so excited. I'm like, oh, I can hear this thing. And I think by sitting and making it stronger and sitting with it sort of helps embed it a little bit stronger, and then, you know, you do your best to get it out, what those ideas are.
Yeah, I was really inspired by that comment of Tim's where, yeah, he talked about if he goes to an instrument too soon, then he'll end up bastardizing the idea, because you just go back to these formulas that you know. If you're on the piano or the guitar, you like go to those same chords and try and then interpret over the top. I thought that was really cool, and it's something that I hadn't really considered too much, which makes me think I might have a form of musical Tourette's where since it's in my head, I'm like, it has to come out. I definitely find it inspiring if I'm like proficient on one instrument. Like, I think I'm probably better at strumming chords on a guitar than I am on a piano. That when I kind of sit down on the piano, I'm so shit at it that anything I play just sounds amazing.
I'm exactly the same, because I'm so shit on the piano. I make these happy accidents all the time, and I'm like, oh, you know, there's something in that. So it's the happy accidents from shit playing as well.
Do you find you need to write the songs from the top down? Does it need to be a realized idea for you that slowly gets translated onto an instrument, or are you happy to kind of like do what topliners do, which is basically kind of have stuff happen in front of you and that trigger an idea and go back and forth? How do you find your songs evolve as you write them?
We've done it very differently. We've changed it up for each time we sort of walk in with the band. Obviously, it's really difficult to write in a room with anybody you know, except we're going to try and do that today. But, you know, generally my guitarist, Jeff, he's a left-handed guitarist, but he plays upside down and back to front. So there's not many guitarists. It's like Albert King is one of those. You know, no one plays like Albert King. He's got this incredible, magical gift from another universe, Jeff, and he's, you know, you could say a G chord and he'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, I love that.
But you put him in a room and he's fueled with magical vibes when he plays. And I think what I've done for many years is gone, oh, my God, that's it, stop, you know, and then I'll make sure that I record all of his sessions, because generally I'll go back and I'm like, hey, can you play that riff? And he's like, what riff? I don't know what you're talking about. So I record every single thing and I'll sort of maybe loop some of those really brilliant ideas that he comes up with, and then, you know, that can be one way. But one of the other things that we've been doing is, you know, the goal with the band over the last few months has to write 50 songs, and we've separated the writing for that. So one thing that I've gotten really stuck with over the years is lyrics. You know, I sort of get in and all of this stuff happens and I'm pretty good with melody, I think. I think that's something, one of my stronger points. But then sitting down after you've got the melody already sitting there, I find really limiting to try and put lyrics into a lot of the time. So I've separated it. So we've sort of worked sometimes on the music. One part of the, you know, our project, we're calling it, is the music happens and I'm writing all of the lyrics and melody, and then I try and team some of them up or, you know, build other pieces around it. So it's a really big fucking puzzle.
Yes, it is.
Writing 50 songs and it, you know, I think it takes, for me, the pressure off writing a really good song every time I sit down, and it just takes it away. It's like, well, I'm going to write, you know, 40 shit songs and hopefully 10 of them turn out all right.
Yeah, it's like the old fishing, you know, analogy. You're like, if you just keep throwing the hook in the water, you know, there might be 40 songs there, but out of those 40 songs, 10 of them are going to be amazing.
I actually wish I had said that.
Well, you know, I love it. Let's get crack-a-lacking, my friend.
We
are here today to play the wonderful game, which is Hat Jam. It's wonderful because we get to interview you about your amazing journey as a musician, but at the end of this podcast, we are going to have written a song from scratch, which is magic. It's like alchemy. We are going to put these things together, and at the end of it, we're going to have this magical thing, which is a song. And the way we're going to get there is we're going to play Hat Jam. And what I've asked you to do, Dallas, is to give us two names of artists and songs that have inspired you. We're going to write them down on a piece of paper. You obviously will not be able to put your hand in the hat.
I can see the hat from here, though, yes, on the Zoom. I can see it's real. Your mum's summer hat?
That's correct. Luckily, my mother has a very large head, so we can fit lots and lots of names in there. So we've got the names of all of our other artists who've been on the show so far. All their names are in there. Oh, Studio Cat's just careful. Throwing stuff everywhere.
Hold on to her.
It's those little paws. They've got no thumbs, so it's hard to hold on to things. And we're going to place your names into the hat as well. Now, your first name is...
So the first song that I chose was a song called Black Lightning by the Bellrays. We've toured around Europe with that band, and she is my singing hero. I've never identified with a singer as much in my life, and I love Lisa Kukola. I love this song. Her husband wrote it about her,
right,
for her to sing, about the empowered black lightning that Lisa Kukola is. So that is That's the first track.
And our second name?
And our second name, glad you asked, is Don't Hurt Yourself, which is a song Beyonce recorded with Jack White. I think there's like 3,000 songwriting credits on that track, but, you know,
sounds like a
whatever
Beyonce
it takes
song
to make a brilliant. I love that song. Again, it's, you know, it's like a woman, you know, who's been cheated on, but just kind of turns it all around by saying, don't hurt yourself. I love how empowered, again, that track is. Yeah, and there's like Led Zeppelin Led Zeppelin drum samples in that as well.
Well, Jack White is very famous for saying he just doesn't trust people who don't like Led Zeppelin, and I applaud him for that.
I'm the same.
Because whenever I meet people and they're like, I just don't really get into Led Zeppelin, I'm like, I don't know if we can be friends.
Yep, can you go away?
So we are shuffling up the hat. Studio Cat is going to put in her paw and pull out the first name that we are going to base our verse on. So what have we got there, Studio Cat? Oh, we have got Kodak Yellow by Cardi B. Do you know this song?
Have you heard much of Cardi B?
Look, I'm a really massive Cardi B fan. I love her. But I think maybe I need to hear the track before.
This track
is like rap.
This track is like her most famous song as far as I know.
Who put this in the hat?
Probably our children, I have a feeling. To people who are like legit hip hop, you know, people who rap themselves, we'll cite Cardi B as being an awesome rapper because she does, you know, what you'd hope that anyone brings to the game, which is, you know, she's got like a distinctive style. She's not like ripping anyone off. In fact, everyone since Cardi B's come out has been like trying to basically do the Cardi B thing, you know, like, and bring that in there. She's got a flow to it.
I actually watched the that TV series that she produced with Chance the Rapper and a bunch of others, and I, you know, I was so inspired by that. She helps a lot of emerging artists. She is highly intelligent, and you know, and she's also herself. She's representing a lot of different cultures, and I dig Cardi B. I can't believe that this has been pulled out of the hat.
That is fully sick, bro. So let's analyze what's going on here in the song Bodak Yellow.
So little bitch, you can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, this is blurred issues. Hit the stores, I can get them both, I don't want to choose. And I'm quick, cut you off so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money moves. If I see you, I don't speak, I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss, you a worker, bitch, I make bloody moves.
Studio Cat, have you got any facts that you would like to enlighten us about Cardi B?
Well, when Cardi B released her monstrous single, Bodak Yellow, she had no idea it was going to be the hit that it became. Apparently, she named it Bodak Yellow because of the flow of the song. It will remind you of a song that Kodak Black did called No Flockin'. So we might want to have a quick listen to that. Cardi said in a past interview with MTV, in regards to the title, she added Bodak, my name starts with a B, and it's like Kodak Black, and yellow because I'm a yellow bitch.
Yeah, she says bitch really well.
She does.
She is proficient at saying the word bitch.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely try and crank a few in if
you reckon, can you
if chuck the song calls for it.
Can you chuck a bitch in?
Bitch.
She's apparently taunting her enemies and denouncing her competitors, really. She's sort of saying, I'm here. And so it's empowering, bitch.
I think that's a really good point, like the theme of denouncing your enemies, like by talking yourself up and going, I'm awesome, basically. And, you know, and how do you do that in a way that still just scans well and sounds cool?
Yeah, without it being who does she think she is or over cocky or whatever. Yeah, there's got to be a balance.
What I love about this song when I first heard it, what resonated with me is I think lyrically, you know, even though she's like, you know, getting all gangster and on it and stuff, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that as a skinny white dude, but but the way she talks about, you know, she was like a you know, a pole dancer before she became a rapper, and she's like, I don't dance now, I make money moves. She's talking about where she was and where she is now and how it's like, you know, and she talked about paying for her mum's house and like all this kind of cool stuff. I love it. And it just comes across so genuine at the same time, you know.
She's not, it's truth. It's authentic.
So I'm going to suggest that how about I create a little loop. You
love
go
it.
Away and I know, and you're going to have to smash out a whole bunch of lyrics with some rhythmic punches in there. So ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to an ad now, and when we come back, we're going to hear what Dallas Frasca has done with Cardi B. This is Hat Jam.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. We're back. So, ladies and gentlemen, just a recap. This is a Hat Jam COVID special. I am broadcasting from Fremantle, Western Australia, and we have Dallas Frasca, who is broadcasting from...
Actually, Melbourne. Melbourne. I'm originally from Northeast.
There you go. So
I'm a bush kid by heart.
Okay, fair enough. So, Melbourne and Fremantle. So... we're not in the same room with each other, so we're unable to just pick up a guitar and jam on an idea. But what we've done is we pulled the first name out of our hat today, and we got Cardi B. I put together a little backing track, which I thought was, you know, Cardi B-esque. Then I've thrown it over to you. You've come up with some raps wrapped over the top.
You can definitely call me Cardi D.
I love it. Well, let's listen to Dallas Frasca, a.k.a. Cardi D, with her take on Bodak Yellow.
Hello, keep it like a secret. Hello, hello, oh. Only you and I will ever know. I can feel it, feel it, feel it coming in as the symphony begins. Hello, keep it like a secret. Hello, hello, oh. Only you and I will ever know. I can feel it, feel it, feel it coming in as the symphony begins. Hello, break it like a promise and you'll never know. Nothing lasts forever, so let it go. The pendulum is swinging, 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 swinging. The needle starts to sing, hello.
I think it sounds awesome. How comfortable were you rapping?
It was a very uncomfortable space. I had to force myself not to sing melody and sort of, you know, I mean, there's so much expression in rap, and it's a lot harder than it sounds, to be perfectly honest.
Well, I think you've nailed the brief. There's definitely some Cardi D action happening there massively. Now, we are going to move right along, and we're going to pull a second name from the hat. Now, this hat is
all right.
This hat is here to inspire our chorus. It might be completely different. What I love about what you've done in the first part of this podcast so far is you've totally sung it to the brief. You've you've used all of the flavors of a Cardi B song to make this come to life. So I'm so intrigued about what we're going to pull next. So Studio Cat is going to put her paws into my mother's sun hat, which is our hat today, and pull out the next name. What have we got for our chorus? Drum roll.
What is it?
Under My Thumb by the Rolling Stones.
Very cool song. Do you know Under My Thumb?
I need to, I am terrible with titles, so I feel like I would need to listen to that. Sorry to all the Rolling Stones fans out there.
Let's have a listen to it now, and here's my version of the Rolling Stones' Under My Thumb.
Under my thumb, the girl who wants had me down. Under my thumb, the girl who once pushed me around. Well, it's down to me. Oh yeah, difference in the clothes she wears, down to me. The change has come, she's under my thumb.
Just out of interest, you know, people like to put themselves into these camps. Are you a Rolling Stoner or a Beatle?
Well, you know, it's an appreciation for both. Like, Mick Jagger is such a babe. I can't even cope with, you know, young Jagger. But I am a really, really massive fan of Beatles melodies. And, you know, I'm going to be a fence sitter on this. Sorry, guys.
They've kind of got this like sleazy ass groove going on, which is like, you know, boom, 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 boom. I think lyrically, it's interesting because it kind of similar to like our Cardi B track where they're big upping themselves and being like, aren't I amazing? Studio Cat, have you got any facts about this album or this song?
Under My Thumb is a song written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, of course, and it was written in 1966. It was the examination of a sexual power struggle that Jagger had with what he does say is a pushy woman. But he never meant it to be an anti-feminist song, which is good considering what the first song is that we're going with.
Right.
He meant it more as a caricature, just as a reply to sort of like a bit of a push-pull relationship that he had. Like many of the songs from the Aftermath period, the album, it uses more instrumentation than the other Stones records. The fuzz bass lines were added by Bill Wyman and marimba riffs played by Brian Jones. So they're the most prominent hooks really of that song. The lyrics have been referenced to being similar to the classic play and Taming of the Shrew.
Taming of the Shrew. So that's an interesting one.
Especially as it's quite a dichotomy to Cardi B's song, really.
It really is. It's like the opposite. It's the dude saying, you know, stop getting ahead of yourself. I'm going to pull you back into line, which is a pretty uncool thing to say in this day and age.
Yeah, it doesn't fly anymore, does it?
No, but I want to put a massive tick next to fuzz bass and marimbas. Can we put those two things in our chorus?
I'm 1,000,000% down for that.
Yep.
If we were in the same room, I would let you borrow my big fuzz, my big muff pedal.
Oh, okay. Well, let's put a big muff in there. But let's make that happen. I think I've got one here.
Amazing.
Now,
you could almost put that lyric in there too.
Big muff pedal. I got my big muff pedal.
Yeah.
I actually like the things I do like about it, and so if you take the gender aspect out of it, which is what we all find a bit offensive, and it's coming from a female, which is basically saying, you know, you were a hopeless case until I came along and pulled you into line. And if you put it in that sense, it doesn't feel so bad, you know, when you're talking about a female talking about a guy who's just a bit of a loser. I mean, I know lots of dudes who could use a bit of pulling into line. I don't know about you.
Well, and you know what? And also women. I think it's both.
I like the idea of songwriting where you might be singing about something literal to you, but in my book, it should always come across as a universal theme that people can access their own story from. So how do you get that idea of somebody pulling someone into line, you know, taming of the shrew or the bogan?
When you say shrew, I just hear shrooms.
Taming of the Shrew. It's not that episode. I'm not going to make
it. It's not that kind of Bentley podcast. Sorry about that.
Please don't make me eat more magic mushrooms. it's way too early in the day in Perth as well. That would just be strange. Taming of the Shrooms. How do we pull that into more of a universal theme?
This is a big conversation. I'm fencing again, but like, I don't think you can tell someone else how to be. It has to be up to them. And I think you can inspire people by embodying being that rather than the dictator in the relationship or going, you can't be doing that. You just have to embody that behavior and choose if you want to be with them or not.
But you can tell someone to get their act together.
You can. And that's a good line in itself, like get your act together.
Are you just writing these lyrics right here?
No, but we should let's write that down. Get your act together.
Pen is happening.
When we talk about these grand concepts of what we want the song to say, we always take the moral high ground, like this is what should be done. Whereas for me, the best songwriting is the imperfect humans. You know, they're talking about like, I know I shouldn't do this, but this is what I've done. And I guess I got to live with that. And that endears us to the songwriter every time. So I don't...
I agree.
I don't feel like we should be embarrassed to say...
Or something like you'll be catching up or... running to catch up or...
When I was talking to Sarah McLeod doing an episode of Hat Jam with her, she was talking about the idea how she always paints herself as the legend in every song she sings.
Right.
She's never like, poor me, you know, I fucked up. It's always like she says no matter where she starts, she tells herself, okay, I'm going to make myself vulnerable and like, you know... or whatever in the song this time around. And then she always ends up going like, because I'm awesome, yeah, every single time.
It's interesting. My style is in the past been a lot of victim to victory. So it's talking about, you know, a situation that's happened and then overcoming that situation. So, you know, the thoughts around overcoming, you know.
Because it's almost in this subject, it's almost like this person is acting like the victim and they've got to get their shit together if they want to get to victory.
Yeah, it could definitely be from that perspective, getting out of under someone's thumb rather than being under someone's thumb.
Yeah.
Getting out of flipping it that way, because that's how the song begins.
Yeah. My mind is going, you know, it's my mind is not good for a podcast right now.
Why is that?
Well, no, there's a lot of stuff going in my head. Like there's scrambles of ideas happening at the moment with, you know, listening to you guys and thinking about the Rolling Stones song and connecting them. Would you be able to, I like the idea of those chords that you just said. Would you be able to play the last couple of chords of our Cardi D track?
Okay, yeah.
That might sort of launch it.
So this is obviously going to sound quite different to what we've Cardi D'd. But we've got like, we've got A minor, C.
Yep.
And then we've got G. And then we go G sharp, F, D with an F sharp bass, G, G sharp, A minor. And then if we were going to go into a chorus, we could either take it to the C. And
get your act together, boy, or you'll never catch up with me.
If we get some good vowels in there as well, like... Boy, I don't know why I said boy, but it feels like the right thing.
Get your act together, boy.
There's our vows.
You never catch up with me.
And then they're kind of going like,
get your act together, boy. You never, never catch up with me.
That's beautiful. I mean, you just that. It's lovely watching your work there, Kev. You just like smash that out. Well, you're like a jukebox on creative ideas, random creative ideas. It's amazing. Get your acting in a...
You need to say
the
that to the microphone,
is buried
Studio
deep.
Cat. Studio Cat's like crawled up underneath the desk over there for a little sleepy. I'm gonna get her back to the microphone because she keeps coming up with, you know, good solid ideas.
Yeah, get on that mic, Kat. Come on, girl. You're punching out those good ideas.
Studio Kat's like,
I want you to come.
How about meow?
Come. What about come running back to me?
Oh, that's nice.
That's great.
That's good. So get your
see. As soon as you're in the screen, the ideas start flowing.
The magic happens.
Stay there, Kat. Come running back. Come running back to me. Get your act together, boy. Catch up with me.
If you're going to catch up with me. If you want to catch up with me.
What'd you say?
Get your act together, boy. If you want to catch up with me.
Yeah, yeah. Get your act together, boy. Come running back to me. Would you repeat the get your act together?
Sorry, I was just thinking about the running line and, you know, if you're catching up, let's just think about this in a literal sense. So someone's running. You can't see this on the podcast, but I'm doing finger running movements of two people. So one person's running and she's just like, turn around, get your act together, boy, if you ever gonna catch up with me. And if he's running after her,
get your act together, boy. Like that is saying he's playing up. If you're gonna catch up with me, I'm here, I'm in the place, I'm waiting for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, something like maybe it could also be a warning, like something like, you know, there's only so long I'll wait.
Yeah, beautiful. That's great.
Get your act together, boy. Come running back to me.
Yeah, so it needs to kind of what I really like about the Under My Thumb.
Do I have to rap? Did you say no, I have to rap?
No, we're not rapping anymore. but if you want to rap, that's okay with me. I'm not going to hold you back. Ain't nothing can hold back Cardi D. So what I like about Under My Thumb is they go, it's down to me, the way she walks. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, down to me, the change has come, she's under my thumb. That's where the title of the song comes in, and they wrap it back up.
For the podcast listeners, I'm actually writing as we speak.
Yeah, this is it. Pressure's on, man.
If you're gonna come back to me.
Oh.
That was good.
As opposed to catch up with me, get your act together, boy, if you want to come back to me. You know,
right.
Inferring that they were together, she's left because he's a dickhead. He needs to, but he's giving her one last chance. It's like,
so long you can run before you fall down on your knees.
Yeah.
Get your act together, boy, if you want to come back to me.
And so let's talk about the Rolling Stone lyrics again. So can you run through that lyrics? Because I just want to sort of like try and apply that similar thing. Because I think now I think it's up to other people. Like, so it can't be down to me. What does he sing?
It's down to me. Yes, it is. The way she does.
Yeah, so
just
he's saying it's
told.
Down to me. But what if we were to say the opposite, yeah. Where it can't be down to me? Get your act together, boy. It can't be down to me.
That's great. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So... get your act together, boy. Would you go straight?
It can't be down to me.
Yeah, it can't be down to me.
There's only so long you can run before you fall down on your knees.
That's beautiful. I love it.
And then there's two more lines in that Stones one, is there?
Well, they kind of wrap it up. I'm going to stop saying
can
the word rap.
Can you stop saying rap?
So
I keep regressing.
Yeah, so if it would be like, it'd be...
I get your act together, boy. You can't be down to me. There's only so long you can run before you fall down on your knees.
So what if it was like, could you repeat that line? So get your act together, boy. Won't you come running back to me?
Oh, there you go. Come running back to me. There's the song title.
Yes!
Okay, so...
woohoo!
It would sound like this.
Get your act together, boy. It can't be down to me. There's only so long you can run before you fall down on your knees. Get your act together, boy. Come running back to me.
Oh, yeah.
Much more my comfort zone actually singing.
Well, yes. I think that's something we should take into account. So I think this is pretty exciting. We've now got our Cardi B verse and we've got our Rolling Stones chorus. And they don't sound too far removed. But what I'd like to do now is to stitch these two ideas together and see how that sounds. What do you think, Dallas?
This is a fun game. I will admit it is a really fun game.
All right, let's do it.
Woo! Hello, keep it like a secret. Hello, hello, oh. Only you and I will ever know. I can feel it, feel it, feel it coming in as the symphony begins. Hello, keep it like a secret. Hello, hello, oh. Only you and I will ever know. I can feel it, feel it, feel it coming in as the symphony begins. Hello, break it like a promise and you'll never know. Nothing lasts forever, so let it go. The pendulum is swinging, 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 swinging. Get your act together, boy. It can't be down to me.
There's only so long you can run before you fall down on your knees. Get your act together, boy, come running back to me.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that is the two songs stitched together. You know, there's some bits that I really love about that, and there's some bits that it feels clunky, like we've stuck two songs together. You know, I love the mystery of the verse, and I love the kind of classic beauty of what we've got as our chorus at the moment. But it feels like it just lets you off the hook too early or something. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, they're not friends to me. I think we could build some friends around the chorus,
yeah,
just in a different kind of style. I feel like even the rhythm behind it, when it goes into that rhythm, it's sort of just like, oh, it's not quite in where the verse wants to go. It's something different.
Yeah, totally. The verse is in A minor at the moment, and then, you know, then starting on the C, it just feels a bit too happy and friendly.
It feels happy, yeah.
I quite like the melody. But it feels like if I was writing this song from the ground up, I'd probably want to keep that mystery for a little bit longer. Mm. And you know, I'd be intrigued to know what happens if we keep the melody that we've got and actually put it under our verse chords that we've already got.
Ooh,
yeah.
I like that idea.
So
I wonder if it'll work.
So Dallas, what I'd really love you to do now is to come back and record this song as if it was a song going on your record, which means that you would have to write a second verse. You're going to need to write a bridge of some description. You might want to totally change the chorus. That's what you can do because, you know, you want it to be a song that you want to perform. How does that sound?
I really love the sound of changing that chorus up. I'm into it.
All right. Well, let's give that a red hot shot. Let's have a listen.
Awesome.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dallas Frasca with her song, Hello.
Hello, have I met you before? Hello, sleeping at a distance through an open door. Hello, keep it like a secret you hold. And only you and I will ever know. I can feel you coming in as the symphony begins. Hello. You come running back to me to get back on your feet. Like a promise, and you know that nothing lasts forever, so let it go. I see rainbows reach out for you, and you come back. The pendulum that swings, and the needle starts to sing. Hello. It can't be down to me. It's only so long. attaboy.
We did it.
Yeah, we did it.
That sounds super cool. I love it. So, Dallas, we started the day as Cardi B / Cardi D. We then became the Rolling Stones. And then we pulled the veil away and revealed Dallas Frasca under that, recording your own version of that song, and it sounds amazing. What I'd really like to know is, how are you feeling? How's your headspace? You know, are you feeling drained? Are you feeling energized? How are you feeling? Tell me about it.
Well, I've just had a coffee, so I'm actually totally fine. And, you know, I've got lots of stamina after being on the road many years. But I really loved working with you, Cav, and I think, you know, for all songwriters, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone, you always learn a few new things. There was a moment in the chorus when we were working on that first version of it that I was kind of holding on going, whoa, you know. But I learned a lot from you, and I, you know, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to work with you. So thank you for having me.
Well, straight back at you, Dallas. And what I love about this process is really, you know, writing the song is important. You know, it's just magical that we get to the end of this show every time and we have a brand new song, and they're always amazing. I think more importantly is that, you know, when we put parameters on what we do, you know, it's so easy just to go to the guitar and, you know, like we started the day talking about, you know, Timothy Nelson, you know, if you jump on the guitar, you just kind of go back to this same old formula. It's so easy to do that, but sometimes it's the things that we don't do that really create the song and also showcase who you are as a writer, you know, when you...
Totally. And I think, and there's like such there's this like invisible like curtain around songwriting. And I think the more that we share as songwriters, and particularly, you know, mushroom experiments like this one is, you can, I think, you know, the more songwriters have access to different ways of doing things, the better the songs in the universe as a whole.
Before we go, if people around the world who are listening to this podcast want to find you, whereabouts, how would they find you?
Well, glad you asked, Cav. They can go to my Instagram page, which is Dallas Frasca, or Facebook. Just put it in the search engine and I'm there, always posting.
And if people want to send you a personal message, how would they do that?
Well, they can. I'll give them your email and you can pass it on to me.
Every time I ask artists on the show that, everyone's like, just don't. No. Message me. But, you know, I think if it's something nice, if someone's going to be like, oh, my God, I heard your song and my friend was going through, cancer, chemo, and it really brought us through. That's what you want to hear. But just for people listening to this podcast, we don't really want to hear stuff like, you guys are shit, whatever. So you can
definitely not that. But you know, we do have a really beautiful connection with our fans over the years, and we know who everyone is. We do like keeping in contact, but yes to what Cav just said as well.
So Dallas Frasca, before we leave you for the day, we just want to say thank you very much. Thank you for writing an amazing song with us. Thank you for being you. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Hat Jam. If you love what you're listening to, if you love any of the artists on this show, then go to our Facebook, Instagram or whatever, and we will have tags to so you can listen to these artists and stream them, buy their music. Give them your money because they're amazing. I was Cav Templey. Studio Cat's meowing in the corner over there because she needs some milk. So until next time, this was Hat Jam. See you later. Hat Jam. If you're interested in hearing more about any of the artists on Hat Jam, then please head to our Facebook page, Instagram or website and follow the links.
You can find Cav Templey on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Cav Templey or www.cavtempley.com.au or follow us directly on @hatjam_podcast. This has been a Templey production.